Just three scriptures I want to read, dear brethren. First is in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 4 and verse 13. But seeing the boldness of Peter and John, and perceiving that they were unlettered and uninstructed men, they wondered. And they recognised that they were with Jesus. And beholding the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to reply, but having commanded them to go out of the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed an evident sign has come to pass through their means is manifest to all that inhabit Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Then Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, sprinkled as to our hearts from a wicked conscience and as to our body with pure water." And finally, First Epistle of John, in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, he in God. And we have known, have believed the love which God has to us. God is love. He that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Herein has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that even as he is, we also are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he has first loved us." We'll no doubt notice that each of these scriptures speak about boldness, and I would suggest that the boldness that is inferred here is not a boldness of self-confidence, but it's a boldness which we can have confidence because it rests in another. And Graham has occupied us with the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus, and that's really where we get our boldness from. The three references to boldness here, I believe, are boldness in relation to testimony, boldness in relation to our response to God, and boldness in relation to the day to come. All that rests in our Lord Jesus, and indeed in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We were impressed when we read this chapter in the Acts a few weeks back with the fact that these men, Peter and John, who were, as was stated here, they were unlettered and unlearned men, but they had boldness. They could speak with conviction because they knew who they were speaking about and they knew what they were speaking about. Mm-hmm. Or in fact, perhaps we could say they knew what they were speaking about because they knew who they were speaking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Mm-hmm. And that, dear brethren, would help us, I believe, in relation to testimony. If we have conviction in our hearts about who we are speaking about and what we are speaking about, it would help us in relation to testimony. They weren't seeking to draw any attention to themselves. They were seeking only to draw attention to the Lord Jesus. We know that it was from the healing of this man that this whole thing came about. But the people who were seeking to examine them said, "For indeed an evident sign has come to pass through their means. It is manifest to all that inhabit Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." That's the boldness or the conviction with which Peter and John could speak, because they knew the one who had brought in the healing. It wasn't anything to do with themselves. In fact, I think earlier it says that they sought to detract any attention from themselves and occupy those that they were speaking to with the blessed Lord Jesus. And that's really, dear brethren, where our boldness should come from. I was thinking too in relation to the Hebrews, therefore, brethren, having boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies. This would be in relation, I believe, to the service of God in particular, but our service anyway, by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Well, hesitate to add anything to what the scripture says, because this is something that is established. It's not of ourselves, but we can have boldness. We can have confidence, not self-confidence. We can have confidence because God has accepted the blood of Jesus, and we can have confidence to enter into God's presence and God's service because of the way that the Lord Jesus has been, because of what the Lord Jesus has done, and because, indeed, as we've been reminded, of the glory which surrounds and belongs to our Lord Jesus. Same thing really would apply in relation to the day to come. Speaks of the may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, we can have boldness in relation to the day of judgment because, again, nothing depends upon us. It all depends upon the glory of the Lord Jesus. He has made the way free for us. He has settled everything on our account to God's satisfaction. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's what our confession has to be, dear brethren. Let us have a greater impression of what the Lord Jesus has done and how he has done it to God's satisfaction, and how everything that we have, everything that we can enjoy, and everything that we can do rests in the glory of that person and the glory of what he has done to God's satisfaction. And let us each be helped in our appreciation of these things, and therefore given boldness. Not, as I say, boldness of self-confidence, but boldness of confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord bless the word for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.